This is KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information, and it is The Record. I'm Bill Radke with the mayor of Seattle. Ed Murray, welcome.
Thanks for having me back on.
Mayor Murray's going to take your phone calls now at 206-543-5869, 206-543-KUOW. Why does he do what he does? What do you want from him? Ask him yourself. Seattle's mayor's on the line for you, 543-KUOW. You're recently back from Mexico City. What's Mexico City got to do with Seattle?
There were mayors from around the world who met on the environment. We're part of an international organization, and the American mayors who were there recommitted that regardless of what the new administration does, we are committed to the Paris agreements. And we believe that we can keep, if the cities in this country keep their own commitments and step up our own efforts, that we can keep this country on course to those commitments.
Let's talk about Trump a little bit. By the way, we're also on Twitter, at KUOW, taking your questions. What is your number one realistic concern about a President Trump?
Well, obviously, I don't know where to begin. I don't think there's just one. There's a bunch of number ones. Obviously, the issue of immigration, the issue of what happens with the economy, his tax cut ideas, all these could have a fairly detrimental effect on average people everywhere, including the city. I'm particularly maybe concerned about a new Justice Department and a new Attorney General stepping back from the national efforts to reform our police departments. Seattle's made huge progress. We're now one of the cities that is leading on how you get reform done. But I think if the federal government steps back, if the Justice Department steps back, I think it could lead to real tragedy and potentially violence.
What would be the top example of the kind of tragedy you're having in mind?
Well, we have some pretty significant issues in this country, and the intersection of guns. There's so many guns in this nation, and how have police react to that, but also the intersection of race and policing. And it is a constant and will always be an ongoing effort to understand our communities, to understand what's the best technique to police. And we have police departments around this country that are not like ours, that don't have the training our department now has. And I think that could lead to yet more African-Americans being shot in situations that are questionable, leading to a backlash from communities that are angry. And I don't think that's the way for us to go forward.
We'll probably get back to the president-elect. I do want to ask you, it's cold. It's going to get colder, sub-freezing this weekend, and a lot of us are thinking about folks here with no place to live.
Right.
You've been planning a new 24-hour shelter with showers and laundromat and food and staffers that help people navigate all the services they can get. And this week your office said it won't open that navigation center by the end of the year because, if I understood it right, the city is still choosing where it's going to go. So why is it so hard to site a shelter when you've given yourself emergency powers?
I think it's important to remember that we've increased resources 40% in the time I've been mayor. We've increased shelter capacity significantly. The largest increase in one time in the city's history. The navigation center isn't an issue of us deciding not to open it up. You know, we don't have a bunch of buildings out there.
Right.
We're working with a nonprofit and private individuals who have buildings that we would like to use for this navigation center. We need to get their agreement, and then we need to get a lot of facilities in there, showers and bathrooms and other hygiene things. There aren't a lot of buildings sitting out there that have that capacity. It's taking longer than I want, but I have to, again, remind people we've taken a lot of effort to provide shelter, and we'll take more efforts to create interim measures to get people what they need. But I also just want to take a moment to remind people that I am hearing from mayors in Southwest Washington, in east of Lake Washington, in eastern Washington, on the Pacific Coast, and they're all struggling with the same thing, a growing homeless population, encampments in places that are not good for the city or for the people who are homeless. And I think it's important for people in Seattle to remember that this isn't some failure on our part. This is a bigger problem. I was just with West Coast mayors from major cities on Monday. And again, our problem is bad. Their problem in many cases is worse. And we're all struggling with what is a national epidemic. If we can't deal with addiction, if we can't deal with mental illness, if we can't deal with affordable housing on the national and state levels, then cities individually by themselves will not be able to solve this problem.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray with us, with you, because we are opening our phone lines for some questions, 206-543-5869, 543-KUOW, and of course we're on Twitter, at KUOW. The city has authorized 7 homeless encampments. 3 of them are open: Ballard, Interbay, Rainier Valley. 3 of them are coming: Georgetown, near Greenwood, near White Center, and then another one, I believe. And you said you don't like opening these tent and tiny house camps. Is the plan to close them at some point?
So, you know, what I have said is they're an answer to nothing except a safer place to sleep, a somewhat safer place, and a somewhat warmer place. But they're not an answer to move people into permanent housing. And it's an emergency measure because we are in a crisis, but we do need to refocus our resources not simply on shelters, but moving people quickly out of shelters into permanent housing. We spend too much of our money and too much of our time on the part of the system that doesn't actually move people into housing. And so we have a series of proposals to start shifting our funding to rapidly get people out of shelters and rapidly get them either the treatment or the housing that they need.
One more question on homelessness. A lot of people listening to you right now want to help. What do you suggest they do?
So there's a lot that folks can do. First of all, we work with our nonprofit partners. So there are numerous, and I'm not going to start listing them off, but they're
You know, I give out change and granola bars. I assume the city can buy sleeping bags more cheaply than I can. What do I help do?
First of all, I think connecting with those nonprofits that are our partners that create the services for homeless. Let me just name one since we're in the U District. Let me name a few. Teen Feed, homeless youth that feeds teenagers right a block away from us. Roots, which gives shelter right about 2 blocks away from us here in the U District. Roots gives shelter to homeless youth, as well as Youth Care, which is basically at the bottom of Capitol Hill. There's one area for people to think about. Working with our school district for little kids who were with their families who are homeless, we've made a commitment that this city should have no children, school-age children, who are homeless a year from now. So connecting with those organizations, other organizations, the answer really is with our nonprofits, for us to partner with them.
Our phone number is 543-5869 in area code 206. And Jerry is on the line from West Seattle. Jerry, what's your question for Mayor Ed Murray?
Well, I was wondering if he thinks that the new rental laws in Seattle are going to help at all. Because in my situation, I run a trust, and the family members I had in the house, I couldn't afford to bring that house up to the quality when I took it over that it would be legally rentable. So I had to sell it to a developer that's going to build 3 houses on it now, and that's displaced roughly 10 people because they let a few people couch surf on their property. So what I'm kind of wondering is, you know, like, what I agree with what he said. I've lived in Seattle my whole life. There's a problem with that. You know, you have to bring people into real housing and actually bring up the quality of their life. They have to be able to get jobs. I've taken these people into my own house temporarily till I can actually give them money.
And what's your question, Jerry?
He really got at what I thought was a question. He had a house. He didn't have the funds to or a building, it sounds like. He didn't have the sources to renovate that and keep it affordable. We're actually asking the state legislature to give us a tax credit that we could go to a developer or to a building owner like him and say, we will you know, give you a tax credit if you keep some of those units affordable, thus making it much cheaper to renovate a property. Preserving places like he mentioned is as important as our significant expansion of new housing.
So he had that, Jerry had that home, that unit in the private sector. And I want to talk a little about the city and the private sector. Do you ever think, maybe we're over-regulating or over-taxing? Sometimes people complain about there's wages and scheduling and paid leave and telling landlords how they can charge. How do you feel?
Well, first of all, this is a city that is still has fewer taxes than many of the cities around us. And I mean like next door to us. So there's a bit of a myth out there around the issue of affordability. You know, the private sector is our partner in developing affordable housing. Part of the HALA agreement is that in our urban villages, they can have basically an extra floor, but they will build affordable units, not the government and not our nonprofits, but that the private sector also needs to provide them. I think that we need to be very careful. If we pile too much onto landlords, it will only go on to the renter. So while we need to be responsible and get them to be up to code, to be reasonable with renters, we also have to be careful that we don't go too far.
Councilmember Tim Burgess says he won't run again. People call him a moderate or a conservative or the grown-up on the council. What do you want from that new council member? More progressive, more moderate?
So if Tim Burgess had been in the legislature, he would have been a left liberal Democrat,
right?
Which he is.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also somebody who is practical. And so I don't think it's the person's ideology I care about, because Seattle is going to elect a progressive, period. The question is, are we going to elect a progressive who's also pragmatic, who understands you can't just pass ideology, you have to work in the real world with real people, in real entities, and find a way through. You know, one of the problems we're having at the national level, one of the things we're seeing with our new president-elect and the people who supported him, is an unwillingness to compromise. Progressives can't go there, too.
We're talking with Seattle Mayor Ed Murray, and you're talking to him at 206-543-5869. Julian in Capitol Hill, what's your question for the mayor? Julian, still with us?
Hello. My question for Mayor Murray is, what city resources are you prepared to deploy to fight Trump's immigration policies? And if ICE attempts to detain our immigrant neighbors, would you order Seattle police to oppose them?
That's a really good question, and I said this the morning after the election. We will remain the same city we are. We will support people here who are undocumented, like the 13-year-olds I met with the day after the election, who are either immigrants or undocumented. These are folks who are neighbors. These kids, their parents are working in jobs that often Americans won't take, and they're paying taxes.
But you can't promise anyone they're safe from federal immigration.
But let me tell you what I can do to get to his question. It is legal for us not to cooperate, and so we will not cooperate. We do not cooperate. We will not cooperate. Our fire department does not ask what your documentation is. If you have a medical emergency or a fire, we want undocumented folks to call the police if they're victims of domestic violence. We are willing to go to the courts to fight any attempt to remove people from our city. We're looking at additional funding to pay for that defense, should it become necessary. And again, you know, these immigrants, regardless of their documentation, are one of the ways that we create a vital city. Cities in this country have always based on immigrants. And there's usually always been a question around documentation.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray talking with you. Talking about a president-elect, among other things, are you going to upzone single-family neighborhoods in Seattle?
So the HALA agreement, which is there, is an upzone of our urban villages and urban cores. Our single-family neighborhoods that are zoned single-family neighborhoods will remain zoned single-family neighborhoods. I know there's a lot of myths and a lot of fear, but if we want to talk about an affordable city, then we do need to grow some density in our urban villages. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves basically in the situation San Francisco is in when they basically decided to cap growth.
Do you think we can avoid that situation without upzoning single-family neighborhoods?
I think,
we have so many of them in Seattle.
I think that we can. I mean, I really think that we can. Our urban villages are still fairly low-dense compared to many cities. So I think the capacity is there. And it is really an issue of a willingness on the part of everybody to step back from, oh, the mayor is going to plow down your neighborhoods, and spend a little more time talking about how we create an affordable city. And I think we'll all come to an agreement that we can have great single-family neighborhoods and have density in our urban villages as well.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray on the line, 543-KUOW. And I want to ask about the new proposed sports arena, Soto or Key Arena?
So, you know, I'm willing to work with anybody who can bring us a team. And so far, what we've heard, you know, from Chris Hansen, he's really liked that arena, but he himself is not going to bring us a team. So we have several questions we need to sort out here. One is, the city has a resource that the taxpayer is going to pay for one way or the other, and that's Key Arena. Is that a possibility? And again, is someone going to actually bring us a team? If that doesn't work, Soto is still an option. But again, someone is going to have to identify who's going to actually pay to bring us a team, I think, for me to be able to get anything through council. I think the idea that it might happen is probably not going to be enough to get council there.
206-543-5869, 543-KUOW. Let's talk a little politics. How should Democrats, in your opinion, win back white working-class voters in places like Mason County and Western Washington? They voted for Obama in 2012 and then flipped to Trump.
Well, it's a really important question. And, you know, one of the things I don't think we did a good job of talking about in this campaign, let's just talk about the issue of housing affordability. Hopefully people have seen or will read the book Evicted by Matthew Desmond. You know, families are being destroyed around this country because of a housing affordability crisis. It doesn't stop at the city borders of Seattle. There's a housing affordability crisis in Grays Harbor County. There's one throughout this country. Are we willing to talk about that? The other issue is the issue of wages. You know, Seattle's actually led the nation on that, but did we really talk about that enough? I think the third thing that particularly Seattle Democrats have to focus on is sometimes the way we talk about things in rural Washington state feels a little evangelical and preachy.
Example, please.
Well, I think sometimes we think we have the religion when it comes to politics. And I think we have the exact same values and interests of folks who are suffering in Grays Harbor County or Mason County. But sometimes the language we use feels to them accusatory and like we're not hearing them. And we need to hear them. We care about poverty. And folks in this state, not just in this city, are hurting. And we have to find a way to reach out and listen to them and not just feel like we have the answers that they need to adopt.
Our reporters do tell us they go way outside Seattle and someone finds out that we're from Seattle and they'll say, well, I guess I won't hold that against you. There's a lot of eye rolling and political correct complaining when it comes to Seattle,
yeah,
in this state.
There is, and that's a natural tension between any big city and the rest of any state. But I do think that there's something there about, you know, I hear it when I go to Grays Harbor County, where I was born and my family immigrated to.
I didn't know that.
I grew up in Seattle, but I was actually born there. But what I hear from folks is they're kind of wondering what I'm doing. You know, Mayor of Seattle.
Right. KUOW, taking calls, 543-KUOW. Lee is in North Seattle. Lee, what's your question for Mayor Murray?
Hi, I'm president of the Resident Action Council of Seattle Housing Authority. The incoming Trump administration has made it clear it will take HUD funding from sanctuary cities. Where is funding going to come from to maintain housing affordability for the 16,000 people I represent?
Well, first of all, the Seattle Housing Authority is a federally funded agency, and I think we need to point that out. It's not actually a city entity. It has a great leader in Andrew Lofton. I think it's important to remember that the courts have said that the federal government can't just simply arbitrarily cut funding because you're doing something. So in this case, I could see if we do not cooperate on deporting people, that they could have a legal right to cut funding that they give us for the police department. But legally, there isn't a nexus between affordable housing and deporting people who are not here legally. So our first thing is to fight it in the courts. And I think we need to be more concerned not about that the Seattle Housing Authority and housing authorities around the nation are going to lose money because of stands on immigration, but that they're going to lose money because this new president is going to do dramatic tax cuts. He cuts that amount of money, it means places like housing authorities are going to hurt. So we need to figure out how we work with our federal delegation to prevent that from happening.
Speaking of housing, we have a question from a listener on Twitter where we are at KUOW. Leschi Elementary has 70 homeless kids, over double than last year, says the questioner. What are you going to do to provide housing is the question.
Sure. So I launched a program with the school district that is identifying homeless school kids and getting them into shelter. The city has always had, or at least over the last decade, has had school-age children who are homeless. So we're actually putting the services in the schools. And we've made a commitment by this time next year, we're going to have those kids not just in shelter, but in stabilized housing.
Another Twitter questioner asks, major cities with worse economies / some larger populations, Phoenix, Chicago, don't have our homeless issue. Are we learning from them?
So first of all, I think we have to ask ourselves, what is it about Seattle and San Francisco and, by the way, Vancouver, British Columbia and Portland, Oregon? What's going on here that you see a significant rise in the West Coast? And I think that's a question that we're all asking ourselves. I hired some
Is it especially happening in the West Coast?
It is, absolutely. The numbers in the West Coast are dramatically different than the rest of the country.
And it's not just moderate weather?
That includes Vancouver, British Columbia, a very different political, a very different safety net. So there's something here that we need to understand further. But I did ask people from the outside to come in and look at what the city does and how we spend our money on homelessness. And the recommendations were something I said earlier, that the city and county are too focused on the part of the system that doesn't get people out of homelessness. We always talk about shelters and we always talk about encampments. It's reprogramming that money towards those organizations that can show us through outcomes that they can rapidly move people into housing. That means, based on those recommendations, looking at other cities, some programs are going to have to be cut so that we can fund those programs that actually work. It is very, very hard to get Democratic city council members up and down the West Coast to vote to cut any human service program. But if we want to get to best practices and we want to move people out of housing, then we need to look at those reports that have told us you're doing it the wrong way.
Have you cut any of those underperforming agencies yet?
So we are in the process. That report came out in August. So we're in the process of setting up the competitive bid process that agencies can go through based on criteria that they have to meet. And that would hit our next budget next fall.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray taking your questions at 206-543-5869. That's 543-KUOW and on Twitter at KUOW. Last year, you set a 10-year goal, Mayor, of building and preserving 20,000 affordable housing units. How many have you created so far?
So I don't have the number off the top of my head, but, you know.
He's working without notes, by the way, this entire time.
And I should have that on the top of my head. I know that we are exceeding our at current levels, that we are exceeding our goal. And it's over 10 years. And again, when the housing affordability livability agenda is fully up, and that will be finally approved in its last pieces, hopefully by council later next year, we will create three times the number of affordable housing units we're creating today, which will make us literally number one or two in the nation in the number of units we are producing.
You're going to meet your 10-year goal.
We will meet our 10-year goal.
KUOW taking phone calls for Seattle Mayor Ed Murray, including Carl in Greenwood. Carl, welcome, and what's your question?
Yes, this regards salting of streets. If it gets a little bit cold and there's going to be some precip, most of the time the salt is deployed for no cause in the end. And it seems to me to be a little bit more logical to salt grades with a certain steepness and be ready to deploy sand in a light way on the more level streets. It's highly corrosive to cars, and there are some environmental impacts to throwing a lot of salt around, although I'm sure that has been looked at carefully. Any chance of getting a more sensible, logical strategy to use all this expensive equipment sparingly?
So one of the challenges for people who haven't lived here before and experienced our snow is we don't actually have a lot of expensive equipment because we actually don't have that many snowstorms. But what we try and use
the occasional snowstorm can bring a mayor low.
Right. Yeah. You know that. Yeah. I somehow don't think that is ever an issue by itself.
No.
But we do salt, and we have found when the city didn't salt, it was pretty disastrous. We identify, you know, those major routes throughout the city, particularly ones that are related to bus or are on steep grades, that we salt before it freezes because it helps keep the roads from getting slick. This is a public safety issue. It's also an economic issue. If we were to have a big snowstorm right now, it would have a significant impact negatively on our economy, especially during the holiday season when people shop and we are a sales tax dependent state and city. So, and as a storm would increase, a snowstorm and freezing would increase, we will increase the salting, and we think we're doing it in an appropriate way. There is some environmental impacts, and there is some corrosiveness to cars. But again, there are other things we need to weigh that against. Injuries, people being injured in accidents, our economy, our ability to function as a city.
I saw somewhere someone scoffing at the idea of Seattle plowing bike lanes. What's that about?
But, you know, I mean, bike lanes are like on the street. So, we plow streets.
Yeah.
So, and we don't plow all.
You're not buying special skinny plows to go between barriers and the end of the lane.
Not that I've seen.
Okay.
So,
Okay, let's take another phone call for Seattle Mayor Ed Murray from Michael in Seattle. Michael, what's your question?
Hello, my question is, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, hello, my question is the growing segregation that we've seen in Seattle. And do you have any plans to address this disparity that, I mean, it's continuously growing. I grew up in Seattle. I grew up in Leschine in the Central District. And essentially, it's turned a completely different color. So how do you plan to address that?
That's a really good question. And Seattle has a history of housing policies in past decades that led to a more racially mixed South End and not a particularly one in the North End, although that is changing. We are one of the hearts of the HALA is to create affordable housing in our traditionally minority neighborhoods. But we're doing two other things. We're creating an equity fund that will allow us to build even more to preserve culture and to make sure that people of color who want to live in those neighborhoods can live in those neighborhoods. In addition, we're going to create some pretty high barriers for significant new development in the central area in Chinatown, to give you two examples. At the request of people who've lived in those neighborhoods for decades and decades, so that the rapid gentrification that we see in some of those neighborhoods won't be able to keep a pace.
We've been talking with Seattle's Mayor Ed Murray, who has a lot of other things to do, and we do want to let you get on to your busy day. Is there? There's a whole bunch of stuff I could have asked you about, didn't get to. Is there one thing that you would like me to ask you about, you want to talk about, that I haven't let you do?
Well, and I should know as a politician to have that question ready right away. I think that...
No, this has been such a perfect half hour.
Well, let me...
accomplished everything.
Let me give you... we've barely touched it. Let me give you an example of why people should feel good about this city. We are a fairly innovative city, and the caller asked about snow. So tonight we're going to have a hackathon on snow. And we're bringing together some of the brightest people to come up with ideas about how we get people information and how we get information as a city to manage our way through a snowstorm. That'll probably come up with some cool apps that'll be very helpful to people. But we've done that on homelessness, and we've done it on other issues. This is an innovative city that is committed to being a more equitable city. And so that's just a tiny thing. There are hundreds of things like that happening throughout your city government every day.
Jeff Bezos, not the only innovator in this town.
No, the people who live here and the people who work for the city of Seattle.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray, taking your questions and mine, and we appreciate it. Will you come back again?
I'll come back. Invite me, I'll come.
Good. Thank you, Mayor. You're listening to The Record on KUOW, 94.9 Seattle News and Information.